is found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'm skipping one lesson to keep up with the rest of the teachers and the classes that we have. Our lesson then today is about Zacchaeus. We find that Jesus went through Jericho and came through this city. This city, Jericho, was well nigh unto Jerusalem. This city was a city that was taken in by Joshua. If you remember a little about scripture, how that the Lord caused the walls of this city to fall down flat, and the Israelites entered into this city. This city was rebuilt, and again it was destroyed, and this is the third time that this city was rebuilt. This city was inhabited by thousands of priests and Levites who, in their courses, went up to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. This city then, likewise, was a city that had some lambs and some sheep in it. For we find in the preceding chapter that as Jesus entered into Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the wayside. Jesus cured this man of his blindness, and he immediately arose and followed Jesus and glorified God. Whether he was in this multitude that went through Jericho with Christ, and also was one that seen what took place with this man called Zacchaeus, is a question. But probably he was with the multitude. And we find that in this city there lived a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief of the publicans, and he was rich. So this man, being the chief of the publicans, he was one that went to the government, and he paid a certain sum for a certain specified district and paid the taxes for this district, and then he in turn took the opportunity to collect these taxes in whatever way he saw fit. Some of these, they in turn, they let out part of the district to other men who paid to these publicans. These publicans, they were noted for being extortioners and thieves. They were hated and despised by the Jewish people. And now this man, Zacchaeus, he was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich. He was then a wealthy man. He was a worldly man. We have no doubt that he collected his riches in and through extortion, in and through by means that were evil and sinful. But this Zacchaeus, he had heard about Jesus. And now Jesus was passing through this city, Jericho, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he was little of stature, and he could not see him because of the multitude of people that were lined along the road, and he couldn't press himself through these people. Zacchaeus then, out of mere curiosity, wanted to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. The fame of Jesus had spread far and wide, and he probably had heard the saying that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Probably this attracted him to see who this man was. Therefore, he went to the road where Jesus was to come. Now this, I think, was mere curiosity on his part. Some explain that there was something going on in this Zacchaeus, so that there was a work of grace in him already, and therefore he sought to see Jesus. I don't see it in it at all. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. Whitefield has a sermon on it, and he says it's mere curiosity. Matthew Henry says it was mere curiosity. Scott, another commentator, says the same thing, and I say the same thing. I don't see that this man had any desire for Jesus according to his soul. He just wanted to see what he looked like. And where he got to the road where he was to go down, he couldn't see him because he was short. He couldn't look over the top of the people, and he couldn't press through the people because they wouldn't allow him to. He was a publican. They hated him. So he decided that he would run down the road ahead of the crowd of people, and then he saw a tree, and he climbed up into this sycamore tree to get a good view of Jesus. We see that because all the people were in the way, and that they didn't like him and despised him, that this didn't cause him to return back home. No, he still was eager and pursued his eagerness to the extent that he climbed up in a tree so that he would get a good view of Jesus. And now when Jesus came to this place, Jesus stood still and he looked up into the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, make haste, for I must abide at thy house today." I think that this was the greatest wonder that this man ever experienced. He never expected Jesus to stop at the bottom of this tree and to look up at him. He never expected him to say, "Zacchaeus." To him, it must have appeared as if somebody had been speaking about him to Jesus. Where did he get his name from? How did he know me? I never seen him. I never spoke to him. He stood still and said, "Zacchaeus." One word, my hearers. With that word went forth power divine. There went forth authority. It arrested his mind. It arrested his heart. "Zacchaeus." This man, Zacchaeus, must have been filled with wonder and amazement that Jesus stopped and called him by name. This was a divine call. This was an effectual call. This calling came from Jesus into the heart of Zacchaeus. He called him because he was a vessel of mercy. He was one chosen by God from all eternity. He was one for whom Jesus especially went through Jericho to call him by his grace. Oh, it doesn't make, my hearers, if we may be one of those who God has chosen, whether we be in a tree or whether we be in the cave of the earth, whether we be in a house of worship or whether we be in our homes. When the set time is there for us to be called, we most certainly will be called. So this was the time for Zacchaeus to be called out of the service of the devil, the service of sin, of the world, and of the flesh. So this Zacchaeus struck home with power divine. We read in Ezekiel 16 of Israel of old, that the Lord speaks of them, that they were like a child cast out into an open field, that they were lying in their blood. So with this man Zacchaeus, he was in the field of this world, he was serving the world, he was wealthy. And the Lord spake unto that child that was lying in the field, "I say unto thee, in thy blood live." So he said unto this man, Zacchaeus, and he began to live as he had never lived before. Something arrested his heart. Something caused him to be taken in, possessed by the word that Jesus spake. And he said, "Make haste and come down." All my hearers, when Jesus calls us, then we do make haste. We make haste for our life's sake. We cannot remain in the world. We cannot serve sin or the devil. We cannot go along anymore with the things that we used to live in. We make haste to leave everything. Oh, blessed is that person that may experience this, my hearers, to forsake every form of friend and to be given to believe that this person that spake to us is our friend that he has a favor towards us, that he loves us, that he has called us. All this man, Zacchaeus, made haste at the commandment of Christ. He came down. It doesn't make what we may be in this world, whether we be rich, whether we be poor, whether we be young or old, whether we be short or tall. When the Lord calls, we come down. Down we come. And what a mercy it is to be brought down, to be brought down out of the kingdom of pride, or to be brought down as a humble sinner to the feet of Christ. For this man, Zacchaeus, he obeyed this call immediately. The Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. When he calls us, immediately we leave everything and forsake everything and follow him. So Zacchaeus, he came down out of the tree with haste. And he went into Zacchaeus' house, and he received him joyfully. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy for any person to experience that Jesus comes and invites himself into our house. He wasn't invited by Zacchaeus, but he invited himself. He says, this day I must abide at thy house. Oh, I wished it was this day that he had to abide in your house, my hearers, that he would enter into your heart and make your heart his temple, his dwelling place. And I am sure that all the idols that you cleave to by nature, you will forsake, for this precious Jesus who has taken the uppermost part in your heart, taken your affections, taken you in, so that you may love him and fear him. Or he went with this Zacchaeus into his house. Oh, when Jesus enters into our heart, and he may enter into our hearts and be with us in our house, there comes a blessed change in our house, my hearers. Oh, I am sure there was a vast change in this house of Zacchaeus. He was a worldly man, a sinful man. He was not a religious man. He was hated and despised by the Jews. But when Jesus entered into his heart and took possession of him and entered into his house, then this man became a religious man. Whether he had a family, whether he was married or not, we do not read this. But there was a vast change in the routine of this man's house. So it will be if the Lord enters into any one of your hearts. What a change takes place in such a house and in such a person. He received him joyfully. Oh, who can express with words of this joy, this which he never had before in his life, this spiritual joy, oh, that he, of all the multitudes of people that were lined along the road, that were watching Jesus, that he was the only one that was called out of the tree. Oh, that he was chosen by Jesus, and that Jesus chose him to go into his house. Oh, this must have been a wonder, a miracle to him. Has it ever been a wonder, a miracle to you, that he made choice of you above so many other people that you know? What was this man? A thief, an extortioner, a sinner? Oh, what were you by nature? Were you any better, my hearers? If God has called you by his grace and given you to know yourself, oh, you can't get low enough. You can't abhor yourself enough because of your sins and your iniquities. Oh, the wonder of it that he chose you. And not above so many others as it was with Zacchaeus. This is something that each living soul experiences when faith is in exercise. And it can believe that it has been chosen by God from all eternity. Love with an everlasting love. Born again unto a new life. All this took place with Zacchaeus in this little short space of time. How wonderful this went with this man. It doesn't go this way with every person that's called by grace, but it did with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus then entered into his house, and Jesus went with him. And now when Jesus entered into his house, there were those that murmured against this. They murmured against Christ and they murmured against Zacchaeus, for he had gone into the house and to be a guest of a sinful man. This the Jews could not understand. Oh, if they had only understood it, I thought, they would have been so happy. They would have said, well, if he has chosen such a man, went into his house to be with him, then there's hope for me, such a sinner like me. But this wasn't the way it was with these Jews. Oh, they were so righteous in their own eyes, and they were so good and so holy, and they lived such a moral life. They looked down upon these publicans and sinners. They expressed this so many times to Christ. But this didn't deter Christ from going into the house by Zacchaeus, no. But they murmured and said he had went in to be a guest of a man that was a sinner. Have you ever loved this verse, my hearers? I am sure if God ever makes you a true sinner, then this will be such a wonderful verse for you, that Jesus went into the house to be a guest of a man that was a sinner. Has he ever entered into your house, in the house of your heart? Has he made that his temple, his dwelling place? Oh, to think that this holy, this blessed, this divine, this glorious person should come into our hearts and should dwell in there. We such sinners, such great sinners. All this was a wonder to Zacchaeus. And this made likewise these people murmur and complain. And I'm sure this sect hasn't died out yet. I'm sure that if somebody amongst us who we know doesn't live the way he should, lives a notorious life, goes on in sin, some person that we don't like to deal with, we don't like to associate with, some person we despise, we look down on, that the Lord should pick such a person, put grace in such a person's heart, we don't go along with that. Why don't he pick those that are good? Why don't he pick those that come to church every Sunday, that live a decent life? We don't agree with these things. Our nature doesn't agree with it. They didn't agree with it either. They murmured against it, and I'm sure if it takes place in the midst of us even, there will be murmuring, there will be talking against somebody like that. And not only in the church, but sometimes even in the very house where this takes place with a person. All my hearers, everybody doesn't agree with the work of grace that goes on in a person's soul. You will find enemies in your own house that will oppose you, that will stand up against you. Just like these people, they murmured, and they couldn't see that Jesus went into a house of a man that was a sinner. Why, he should have went into the house of the Pharisees, those that live good, that obey God, that live so strict according to the law. This they couldn't take. They spake against it. But oh, I am glad that it's written there, my hearers. And I hope someday you may be glad too with this text, that he ever entered into the house of your heart and made that his dwelling place, that he became your guest. And now we find Zacchaeus doing what grace does to a person. Zacchaeus, he stood before the Lord, and he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded any man in any way, then I will restore that person fourfold. Now this is a confession of Zacchaeus. He knew he had done wrong. He knew that the half of his goods he had got in a wrong way. He had taken too much from many of the people as a publican, and he had probably deceived many of them, extorted way too much from some of them. And these things come back to this man. And now because he was rich and had plenty of goods, this wasn't for the merit to make it good with God that he'd done this. No. But this was the grace of God in this man. He was made immediately loose from all his riches. Oh, and he was willing from his whole heart to give half of his goods to the poor. Oh, my hearers, if God comes into your heart with his grace, he makes you so liberal. Oh, it is true, we used to have Dominie Van Swaden amongst us, and I heard his wife say, I have to hold him back or he'd give everything away that we have. This is true. Oh, he was such a good-hearted man to the poor and to the people that were in distress. He had to be held back by his own wife. So if God comes into our hearts, he opens our hearts, and we have a heart to give for any case that is needy, and that is true, and that there is a necessity to give. So with this man, his whole heart was open to give half of his goods to the poor. Oh, if you read Psalm 41, God speaks out a wonderful blessing of those that have a heart to give to the poor, that he will be with them in their trouble, and he will likewise make all their bed in their sickness. This, when we give like this man Zacchaeus was made willing to give, is by the grace of God. We all sit fast on what we have. We don't want to give. But when we are made willing by God's grace, then we have no ties to our riches anymore. Not that we should squander it away and give it away without thinking. Oh, no, that isn't the point. But we are loose from it. Otherwise, we sit fast to it. So Zacchaeus was sitting fast upon his riches, too. And he was willing. If he had defrauded any man by any way, he was willing to restore it fourfold. Oh, this is a great blessing, my hearers. In my own experience, I've had this myself. When grace entered, then all these creatures that I had spoken to and that I had been at enmity with, and I had been the cause of it, I wanted to go to them, and I did. As many as I knew, I went to them. I asked them for forgiveness for the things that I had done. I couldn't go on living like that, no. Grace makes a person this way. He becomes humble. He doesn't care what the other person thinks or what they say about him. He's willing to be the least. What a mercy to be that, my hearers. So it was with Zacchaeus. He stood before the Lord. He didn't speak to the people about these things, but he stood before the Lord. He was honest. He was made sincere. As David, let honesty and integrity preserve me. So he was, by the grace of God already, in an honest frame of soul, willing to do these things that the Bible teaches us to do, and which the law of Moses likewise taught him to do. And when he had spoken this way, Jesus said unto him, this day salvation is come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, all salvation had come to this man free, without any merit, without any price. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the salvation of his people, had taken possession of him. He had become the salvation of Zacchaeus, and he had came into the house of Zacchaeus, and into this house salvation, Christ, had entered. All salvation is free, my hearers. Many times we read of the word salvation in Scripture. It was a great salvation for the people of Israel when they were delivered from the Egyptian captivity and servitude. It was a great deliverance for them people, and it's called salvation in the Bible. It was a deliverance likewise when David was king, and he likewise delivered the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. It's called salvation. Now, this is an external salvation, but the salvation that is meant here is that eternal salvation which is in Christ Jesus only. He is the salvation of his people. He's the salvation of his church. So he was for Zacchaeus, and he had entered into the house, salvation, had entered into this house, into the heart of Zacchaeus, and salvation likewise began to reveal itself in the routine of this man's house. This man likewise was the son of Abraham. He was to the Jews a heathen. He was hated, he was despised, he was a sinner. But when grace came into his heart, then we see what it done for him. And it made him a true son of Abraham. He became interested in the covenant that God had entered into with Abraham. He became a partaker of the benefits of this covenant. He received a new heart, a new life. He received likewise faith, hope, and love. These blessings which come down upon those that are interested in this covenant which will abide forever and ever. So in this way he became then a true son of Abraham. He was a Jew. He was by birth a Jew. He was by birth even a son of Abraham. But the people, the Jews, they did not class him as such. But now he became one, a true son of Abraham. And then Jesus speaks, "For the Son of Man is come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost." This, my hearers, apply to first place to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he was lost. Oh, my hearers, in and through the deep fall in Adam, we all have become lost. This is a lost world. We come into this world lost. We've lost God. We've lost that perfect righteousness which God created us in. We lost that image that God made us in. We've lost that happiness that we had in paradise with God in the Garden of Eden. And we come into this world. Every person comes in a lost condition. Oh, this text shows the greed and unspeakable love of God the Father in sending his dear son Jesus into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He sought and he saved Zacchaeus, and he seeks and he saves every vessel of mercy that has been afore written in that precious book of God. They likewise are under this lost condition. Oh, we are in a totally lost state by nature, every one of us. Just as a criminal has been consigned and condemned to death, he's lost. He's got to die. So we are criminals. We are consigned to die, my hearers. So with a person that has an incurable disease, the doctors give such a person up and say, it's a lost matter, can't be done anything for him. So we have this terrible disease, sin, and we are doomed, my hearers. We have an incurable disease on our side. We cannot cure it. The sentence of death is hanging over each and every one of us, and we know not how soon it may take place. We then are all lost. But the wonder of it, my hearers, that God's dear son came to seek and to save that which was lost. He spake in Matthew 9 that he was not come for the righteous, but he was come to call sinners to repentance. Oh, this Zacchaeus was a sinner. He called him. He gave him repentance. And so he calls every one of his dear children. They are called in the time when it is a time of love, a time designated by God himself, a time when they are to be brought by his grace to himself. They are brought out of a state out of which they cannot deliver themselves. Oh, my dear hearers, this blessed Savior is able to save you, willing to save you. Oh, that every one of you were given to feel that you were lost, that you were ruined, that you were undone. Oh, you read about it, I'm teaching you about it, but it doesn't affect you, my hearers. Really, if it affected you,
and you got this by the Spirit in your heart, I'm lost. Or you wouldn't have any rest day or night until you were certain that you were saved. Oh, it takes sometimes years. Even when the Lord Jesus begins a good work of grace in a person's soul, that they are brought into this lost state. Oh, it's a blessing to experience, like Zacchaeus, to be called, to be born again, to receive a new life, to love the Lord, to walk with him and to talk with him and to have him as your friend and companion. But this can all go, my hearers, without you being brought into your lost state and condition. Oh, when the Lord begins to teach us what we are and what we have become, and when he begins to break down what he builded up, and when he begins to root out what he planted in us, that isn't a very pleasant experience, my hearers. When you become a barren fig tree and you can't find any fruit on yourself, and you think everything is wrong and everything is undone, and it is, oh, it truly is, and it becomes that way. Oh, when you begin to be brought to this place where you are lost and where you cannot be saved except Jesus saves you. Oh, this takes sometimes years. With some it happens immediately. With some it happens on their deathbed. Then you speak to such a one. No hope. All what I had is insufficient for me to enter into eternity. And then the Lord Jesus reveals himself in his wonderful love and grace to such a person. And then they are saved, as lost, as ruined, as undone, by free grace. What a mercy to experience this, my hearers, in this life. Oh, may God in his love and mercy seek every one of yous out. Oh, I hope that all your names are written in his precious book. And when that day comes, by him designated, you most certainly will be called. It's a blessing to be called, my hearers. Or to be given to love Jesus, or to follow him through thick and thin. Come what may, no matter who may be your enemy, who may speak against you, all you have in your heart, that which the Lord has planted there and which nobody can root out. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy begin this good work in every one of your souls. That's my wish and prayer. That's the desire of my soul, that God would take of the feeble explanations that I give to you out of his word and use it for your salvation. May the Lord bless this lesson this day to this end, that his name may be glorified and that your souls may be profited thereby. That's all for today.